insightful analysis, bold comments, friendly debates. Find all that on Roundtable, an in-depth discussion on hot topics in China, only on Easy FM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Roundtable. Coming to you live from Beijing, I'm your host, He Yang, joined by, oh, she's so very sweet and smart, Miss Niu Honglin.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, hi. And you've got extra rosy cheeks today. I wonder what's making you so happy.
Well, something new is making me happy. Someone new would make me happier.
Oh, I like to hear that from a lady. Well, there you go. We've got a mysterious third voice on Roundtable today. He's such a good friend of Roundtable, Mr. Lincoln Funda Vesterhazen.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me, He Yang. You know, it's always a pleasure. And I'm also very excited to find out about Niu Honglin's new mystery partner.
Referring to you.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's brilliant. That's great, though.
You're the someone new here.
I'm the someone new.
I'm disappointed because I'm being so sweet and nice.
I'm very embarrassed.
That's
well,
okay.
Just be happy when you can make a lady's cheeks grow pink.
Yeah.
Yes. And also, Lincoln, when you're not on Roundtable, where can we catch you?
Well, you can find me on Language Cafe, where I am with my lovely co-host, Manling, where we kind of take a deep dive through the English language and some phrases that you might not know of. And we try and unpack that a little bit. So you can find that on WeChat. You can just search Language Cafe and it should be there.
Yes, that's very easy to find Language Cafe. And often you guys have phrases that surprise me a little bit. And I do learn something from it. Last time I remember there was a nice discussion about what red herring means.
And red herring,
it was very nice. Very nice. I learned something. And also, Niu Honglin and Lincoln, you guys... aren't you doing a little project on the side together too?
Yeah, I was waiting for him to introduce our little program that is called Takeaway Chinese, because you can get some Chinese language for you to take away. And because we do it in English, so if there are any English learners who wanted to know a little bit more about how to introduce your foreign friends about Chinese language and culture, you can also catch up on that.
There you go. Some awesome shows for you to catch on CRI, China Radio International, aside from Roundtable. Yes. Go check them out. Good as always to have you, our dear listeners, with us. We have some fascinating topics for discussion today and every day. On today's program, want to make some money off your car space when you're not using it? Well, there's an app for that. Will car space sharing apps be able to emulate the success of shared bike apps in China? And in our weekly segment called Roundtable, Heart to Heart, we'll play out questions from listeners and answer them on the live show. Have your question been chosen? Well, you'll need to listen to find out. We would love to hear from you and have you join our live discussion. Come and find us on WeChat. Just search for Easy FM Roundtable. Or you can send us a message and also listen to the live show that way. And of course, you can leave us your thoughts and see in a Weibo. Just key in 轻松调频 Roundtable. If you're a podcast listener, we're Roundtable. 圆桌会议 there. But first... a parking space sharing mobile application is gaining popularity among car owners in Hangzhou, East China's Zhejiang province, amid China's sharing economy boom. Will it be able to resolve the shortage of parking space in Chinese cities? And also, we're interested to know if this business can take off just like the shared bike apps have done. So first of all, let's talk about how does an app for shared parking space work?
Sure. So I'd like to start the introduction with a sentence on the research paper because it's very funny. It's saying from our researcher, according to her, searching for parking space has long been a headache for many office workers across China. And I think that's the truth, because when you don't own a solid parking space your own, it's going to be hard for you to find a place to park your car. But with these apps, all you have to do is to register with your cell phone number, license number, I guess, and as well as as your car number, you will be able to access in this app and find vacant parking space according to the app and park your car. And if you're a parking spot owner, you can also join the app and saying that I have this free time from let's X o'clock to Y o'clock, then during this space, people can park in your parking space. And this is pretty much how it works.
So I'm just a little bit confused, guys. So just so that we can get a good idea. So these parking spots are owned by who? How do you
individuals.
Go about? How do you go about actually buying a parking spot? Where do you do that?
Well, actually, in residential communities, mm-hmm. when you're buying an apartment from that community, it's your choice to buy a parking spot or not.
Okay, and these parking spots, are they underground or are we talking about above ground parking spots?
All kinds of parking spots.
All kinds of parking spots. Very interesting when I saw this app, I saw this this research paper. And maybe to just give a little bit of an idea of the scope of the problem, of the headache, as it were, for Beijing and its parking population. Apparently some, and I saw this article that said it's about 5.5 million cars in Beijing, and this is in 2014, only 2 million available parking spots.
Yeah.
Now, of course, these are 2 million official available parking spots. Of course, you see people parking in all sorts of places. But that
they
is,
have to.
Well, that is because, you know, there's more than more than double the amount of cars than there are parking spaces available. And it seems like this app is trying to address that problem.
Yes, and I think it's very... It works well in theory, I feel, because it's a part of the sharing economy model. That is, you put the idle resources in the hands of an individual into meeting the demands of someone who needs that service or that resource, and you connect the two ends, and a bit of exchange of money is made in the middle, and that seems to be a wonderful way to connect the resource and also connect people, it feels. And with the shared car space model, I think it's not that difficult to understand in theory, especially when you think about all those people who have purchased a car parking space in your residential building, so that's probably where you live. And there's usually underground parking or parking above ground that you have. But during the daytime when you are at work, that car park space is vacant.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are people who are maybe business office workers who are working within that neighborhood or in the vicinity of that, they will need a place to park during daytime when they go to work. And often it is difficult to find parking near business buildings because it's all taken up. And then you can park in maybe those residential areas as well. I think that is one of the ways that this can be utilized. And of course, in a more straightforward manner, whenever there is a vacant car space that's owned by an individual, you'll be able to see it on the map on your smartphone according to the app, and you shall be able to find a parking space. I think these are the intricacies of it.
Well, I'm not a driver in Beijing, so while I do spend time in cars, I'm not the one having to find parking spots most of the time. Heng, you're a driver, right?
Yes.
How big of a problem is this to you in your everyday life?
Oh. It is such a headache. And actually, this headache might even have a positive consequence. That is, because parking is so difficult, sometimes you don't drive. But often you need to think and consider if you can find a place. And if you can, you'll think about costs as well, as it is hugely expensive if you're parking in city center in Beijing, as often the first hour is 14 yuan and then it goes up according to hours. So over the weekend, when I visited a friend who lived very center in Beijing, I think I spent 60 yuan I parked there for maybe 3 hours or so. So yes, it is a bit of a headache. And if I can make sure that my car gets parked safely in a car space and it could be a little bit cheaper, then that would be really good. Mm-hmm. That is the ideal.
Yeah, but I want to ask the next question though. How big, how prominent do you see kind of like these big parking lots and these big, these places where you can just go in the city center and the only thing that you do is you park your car? Because where I'm from, you know, quite near Cape Town, there's often there's many parking lots across the city, and people make quite a lot of money with them. You know, you buy up a quite prominent space in the middle of the town, and the sole purpose of that building is to house cars. And, you know, people park there throughout the day or when they're doing their shopping and then they come back. Is that something that is quite you know, prominent in Beijing, this idea of this kind of private parking spaces? Is that something that's quite... do you guys see that around?
Yeah, I think that problem, or let's say that kind of business model is not what these business owners nowadays doing these app thing is thinking about. Mm-hmm. Because for them, if they wanted to make some kind of cooperation with this big, let's say, parking building, it's not exactly benefit to the building owner. As in, they just wait for people to park in. They're in golden places in the city. They don't really need an app for them to do that.
No, my question is, and the reason I do that is, when I go back to the thing that I said at the top of our discussion is 5.6 million cars, all right? 2 million parking lots.
Yes.
The fact that you share those parking lots, it doesn't address the overall problem, if you see what I mean. So you have this now shared thing, and this might lighten the burden somewhat, but it just kind of, to me at least, it seems like it just kicks it further down the road, because the real problem is that there's too many cars and not enough parking lots, not the fact that people are trying to share them. I don't think so. For it to work perfectly, all 2 million parking lots would have to be shared, or maybe 2 million parking spots would have to be shared, and I don't think that's going to be the case. So I think maybe while this is a good kind of, you know, temporary solution, a good mm-hmm. short-term solution, the better solution longer term is to look at creating more opportunities for people to park, and maybe, you know, more private kind of parking garages or parking areas might be a better long-term solution, Gersten think?
I think you are asking a very good question, and it is one of the root problems that we are trying to find solutions. Actually, Lincoln, this is just according to my personal observation, I make the speculation that there's quite a big gap between the two numbers that you just cited about the shortage of parking space. Mm-hmm. And I think the way that car owners have dealt with it is you find your own vacant piece of area, and there might not always even be those lines drawn for legal parking, but you make do. And I think that could particularly be a problem in big cities, because there is a huge population and designated areas for designated purpose, and you risk of getting a ticket, that kind of thing. But it's difficult to calculate to the exact mm-hmm. point mm-hmm. that how many of these cars are in the constant risk of getting a ticket or can't really find a place to park when people sort of take the matter into their own hands. And this is not the ideal situation. So people are, but I think it's also interesting to see that if we have idle resources, that is the vacant car park area within certain amount of time in a day, if we can use that and make a bit of money from that, isn't that something that is a win-win situation for both parties? So I think this is looking at those very specific hours of making better use of, well, this is private space, but in the society, how is it better to utilize that?
Yes, and I think the situation here is problematic, of course, but with information asymmetry, meaning that there are vacant parking spot, but drivers who need to park their car don't know, the situation is going to be worse. And I think that is where this parking app is trying to target those situations. And the thing is, they can actually make money out of it, because in order to be a member of this app or download this app and use it, you need to pay extra amount of money as deposit or annual fee or franchise fee. Things like, you can see it as a membership fee. So you join the member that the app created and be able to use all the services. And another way to make profit out of it is advertisement fee, meaning that if you're using the app, you may come across some apps and the apps are ads and the ads are paying the app. So I think this is how this is why we think sharing economy is really good, because sharing economy is like utilizing all these vacant or locked up resources and benefit all party in it. And yeah, I see it quite good.
I think that's interesting. But Lincoln, do you think that a model like this can take off? Because it's proved to be pretty popular in Hangzhou, but just in the starting stage in Beijing. Do you think this will work here?
I think it will take some time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's something that's going to work from the get-go, the kind of the way that these bike sharing apps have kind of kicked off in a very, very short period of time. I think I have a couple of problems. My first one is it depends on the kind of the technology of the car. So the car, from what I gather, so you have these locks in the parking space themselves, and then the Bluetooth in the car has to, that's how you know that the parking space
unlock
is occupied.
The lock.
Okay, a little bit apprehensive about that, how many cars actually have Bluetooth. That's going to be another problem. You know, the newer cars do, but many older cars don't. I'm also kind of just a little bit unsure about how the coming and going would work. I can already see some, maybe is there going to be any legal problems, you know, people overstaying, people, you know, mm-hmm. That's another problem that probably has to be regulated as well. But I don't want to kind of be a Debbie Downer and just say like this won't work, because I think it's a good idea. I think it's an excellent idea. In fact, my only other, like, I have just questions about like where people are trying to park during the day. The reason that most of us struggle to find parking at the same time is that we're all trying to park at the same time. So, you know, how effective that is actually going to be in alleviating the problem, the extra parking spaces, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. See, I think the problem here is because the app is playing with time. It's like when you're not parking in your residential community, other people work nearby can. So the big market here, I think, or the big resources here will be in those residential mm-hmm. communities that goes to the problems that if I am one of the resident and don't own a parking space, I don't want people I don't know or strangers to come into my residential community, because I'm not making money out of it. And see, if I own one of the parking space, maybe I don't think it worth the trouble or problem earning a little bit of money and having strangers get into our parking space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will be the biggest problem to this app.
Yeah, I think that's interesting and also a very smart observation.
Thank you.
And yes, I'm trying to make a guess as well, educated guess, about what are going to be the car parking spaces that's going to be freed up during the day, most possibly be taken up. And if it is residential buildings, the parking lot underneath it, then there is going to be quite a big obstacle that this app will encounter. That is, I think, security concerns, because usually when you live in a residential building, you have a special pass mm-hmm. or card to get in and out, and residents have a say in this. Why would they want to allow strangers to come into the parking lot and maybe also come into the building if you want to get out from the parking lot in a legitimate way? Then there are going to be a lot of these problems that seems pretty trivial, but it would be a big problem for people who are actually encountering it. But Hangzhou has got it sorted out, it feels. And in a way, I'm not surprised that Hangzhou is the city that piloted this app, and also seeing it being the city where this app is being most popular, because Hangzhou has turned from an ancient city into one of the most modern when it comes to technology. I think it has a lot to do with being the headquarters of Alibaba, one of China's biggest technology companies. And in that city, you can pretty much walk around, do all kinds of fun activities, or meet your daily necessities just carrying your smartphone. So it's a very much connected city, and I can see how the car spaces being shared take off there. But when it comes to a even bigger city like Beijing, that's not got such advanced, I would call it technology infrastructure to some extent, to connect all these residential buildings to make sure that the car spaces are going to be freed up for people to use, that is quite a big leap by the sound of it. Okay, I'm being a little bit of a pessimist here. Do you think that this will take off here in Beijing?
I think it's going to be hard, but if Alibaba is willing to jump in, of course, with such a big, huge capital, and they can just pour a lot of money into the investment process, they can get information for or of pretty much every parking spot. If it's vacant, how much money you need to spend, they can do that. But for me, if I am a car space owner and I learned that someone working nearby need my parking space, why don't I just lose the middleman and have some kind of pact with that person, and have them parking in my parking space? That way I will know who's parking there, I will find it safe, and I don't need to pay the middleman.
All right, I'm going to go on the record of saying I don't think it will work.
Why?
I think there's too many concerns at the moment, especially the security ones. When this company goes public in 2 years, you can have me back on the show, and I'll have my apologies. But more specifically, I do think the problem that needs to be addressed, you need to look at the core, and the core is that there's not enough parking spots for all the cars. So from that perspective, I think when public buildings are being designed, hospitals, kind of government buildings and the like, that needs to be factored in more. So parking lots need to be designed better. They need to be designed more efficiently for the people that actually work there, so that people don't have to resort to, having to use sharing apps like that. I think that needs to be the core problem that needs to be looked at. Look at designing street parking, look at privatizing, public parking as well. Look at something like that, and maybe that can actually open up a bit more space. I know it's difficult in Beijing because, property is very expensive, but I do think that's probably where most of our attention needs to be focused if we're going to solve this problem in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And also that is the biggest problem that I think the local government or the traffic authorities are grappling with. That is, Beijing is an old city and development has taken off decades ago. And that, coupled with one issue, that is car ownership has only grown in rapid speed. It may be 10 years ago around that time. So suddenly you get a huge influx of cars, but all these core facilities within the city, I'm talking about maybe within the Third Ring Road, so the pretty much the seat of the city, doesn't really have much room to build new parking buildings for vertical parking or a special building designated to parking, which you see in a lot of Western countries, or digging into earth to build new underground parking. That is also out of the that is also out of the equation for a lot of these cases. So I think in the middle of the city, we need to utilize existing resources better. And outside of the middle part of the city, we can explore all those good options that Lincoln just provided for us.
Yes, and I do want to say this at least is a good idea, and it's a real sharing economy situation, because all those shared bikes, well, they're creating new bikes to rent them, so it's not exactly sharing economy, but this one is. So maybe for startups, you can try to link up residential buildings, parking space with working space nearby so that you link them up. That would be a start for you to, let's say, start your business.
Yes, and I do appreciate that clarification of definition from Niu Honglin. That is these O2O bike sharing, they're not necessarily sharing, it's more like bike rental, but using your smartphone. We'll be back after this short break with more interesting discussion on Roundtable.
Informed opinion and heated debate. Find out what's got China talking on our Roundtable discussion, only on Easy FM.
You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, joined by the very sweet and smart Miss Niu Honglin.
Hi, hello. See, it's your introduction that makes my voice like that.
Well,
I like it. Thank you.
I like it too. Yeah, you tend to follow my lead really well.
Yeah.
Thank you for the cooperation.
I like it.
And also, we've got a good friend to Roundtable, Mr. Lincoln.
It's lovely. Niu Honglin is sweet and smart, and I'm a good friend. That's all I am to the old.
Well, I need to use up a little bit more of my time and little gray cells in my brain to come up with a better introduction. I will think about that, Lincoln, but every time it just gets me so excited just to say your surname, Mr. Lincoln von der Westhuizen. Yes, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, well, we're very happy to have you here. And also, I'm getting messages from our WeChat listeners who want you to reiterate how can they find you when you're not on Roundtable, and what is the WeChat account they can look up?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you just go on WeChat and you look for Language Cafe, it's all one word, and you should be able to find us there. And you can just give us a nice follow on WeChat and you should be good to go.
Yes, and also you'll be able to find Manling there. And
It's
a very fun show. Introduces you with all these fun English phrases that I feel if I use them every day in my dialogue, then, well, makes me look pretty smart to some extent.
Totes.
Yes. Yes. Oh, totes. Yes. Totally. I absolutely agree with you. And that's Language, no space, Cafe. C-A-F-E.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what you need to look up for to find Lincoln. And we've got some really interesting topics coming up. Before that, we will have our weekly segment called Roundtable Heart to Heart. We will play out on radio questions from listeners and answer them. Have your question been chosen? Well, you need to listen to find out. If you have a question for us or for the Roundtable team regarding the hosts, the show, or anything in general in life, I suppose, send in a voice document to easyfmroundtable@foxmail.com and be part of our live show. After that, we'll talk about Guizhou Maotai, renowned Chinese liquor company, will open its own university. Would you want to attend Maotai College? Just think about this. Would a graduate from Tequila College land you a dream job? Well, that is a question that needs some answers, and we always want to hear from you. Just send us a WeChat message, as we are Easy FM Roundtable. Or you can find us on Sina Weibo, just key in 轻松调频 Roundtable. Our podcast listeners can find us at Roundtable, 圆桌会议 there. Now, our Roundtable's a sofa throne.
Da 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 da.
Oh, that is so sweet and cute.
Nah, I'm sitting for Ryan anyway.
Oh, yes. And
yeah, this is Ryan's seat.
Yes, Ryan's seat. And the man will be back tomorrow.
Yes.
He had some other assignment that he had to tend to today. Yes, so today we have someone who's regained the sofa throne, who will probably start a new dynasty. That is Xiao You've got it again.
Yeah, good. Congratulations. And I was not on the show yesterday. So were you not the sofa winner yesterday?
Yesterday, it was another man. Aww. Julian Chenfeng, who sort of got kicked off the sofa throne today. I see your presence, sir. But yes, it's been an epic battle between these two.
That's good. That's good.
Yes.
See a good fight makes me happy. Oops.
Well, certainly this is a competition that if you comment on the Roundtable live show at 1 o'clock sharp and being the very first one to do so, you grab the sofa throne. And if you win it for 5 consecutive weekdays, then we will send you out a Roundtable special goodie bag, which we call VVVVIP treatment, because that's how special it is. So yes, I want to say hi to all of you who have sent in a message and told us how much you love us. That is so sweet. And we get these lovely messages and also, I think, constructive criticism, something we welcome too. Yes, we've got Jasmine saying, hi, He Yang, Niu Niu, love your very sweet voice and welcome to Lincoln. Language Cafe is certainly a very nice show to listen to.
Oh, that's great. Fantastic.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And, there's more messages for Lincoln.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we've got question mark, question mark. Yeah, that's a fun name to have.
Question mark, indeed.
Yes, life is filled with mysteries, and this lady or gentleman has found an answer. That is, the partner I listen to with Man Ling on the show is Lincoln. It's wonderful to have you here on the show.
Oh, great stuff.
Yes. Oh, Han Xiao Yi says hi to you too. And yes, Yue Er, Dian Dian, Julian Chenfeng, and our listeners are saying hi to us. And usually it takes me a little while to look up our listener comments from our different platform. That is, you can listen to our show live at 直播互动 on our WeChat public account, and you can leave your messages there too. We would be able to see them as I am seeing the loading page load, and we'll give it a little bit more buffer time as we move on to our next segment called Roundtable Heart to Heart.
You ask.
We answer.
Roundtable, heart to heart.
So that's the segment when we have the time and the opportunity to play out on radio the questions our listeners have sent in audio form. So let's start this week with Faye's question.
Hello, I'm Faye. I have been a big fan of your show since I was in unit, so I really wish my voice could be heard in the show. Okay, my question is, does reading English book really help you in improving your English, since, you know, life pace is getting so fast nowadays that we don't really have time for reading? Also, people tend to watch English movies or YouTube videos because they are more entertaining. I wonder, has reading habit somehow been vanished in this new era? I want to hear your opinions about it. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Faye, for sending that in. And what an exciting life you have. Even with that, like, one less than a minute question, I hear so much going on
in the background. Honestly, it felt like maybe 6 or 7 people just left it or came in and left at the same time. It's very exciting.
I think that is why she has no time to read.
Ooh, it might be all the things background that's distracting.
It would be very distracting. But New Honglin, what would you say to that question?
See, it makes me wonder, because if she's trying to learn a language by reading, I think it's a little, for me, I'm reading the book, and because I don't understand the language, so I learn the language in order to read. So I feel like reading, especially reading a whole book, the purpose of that would always be try to figure out what what the writer wanted to deliver. I mean, the message would be the key element in this circumstance. And if you really wanted to, well, I would say reading an English book would definitely help you learn English, that's for sure, but it's going to be a little bit slower than, you know, learn it. Taking some test book and getting into some classes, that will help you learn faster. And if you do wanted to learn English by reading a book, I do have two little tips. That is, go ahead and read, find the fun out of the book, and if you encounter a word which you don't know so many times, well, only so many times, then you go look it up. That will make sure that you understand the word and remember it with that one lookup in the dictionary. And the second one would be if you are a person who's sensitive to audio, like I do, I would recommend you to find some audiobook so that you would know how to break up the sentences, you would know what's the emphasis of the sentence. That, well, what I meant was to read the book and listen to the audiobook. Later on, you may find it easier to, let's say, improve your English.
So I think there's two things. One's reading the English book, can that improve your English? And also there is the question about reading, is a book, a physical book from cover to cover, still something you want to do these days? Lincoln, what do you think about
that? Yeah, I would agree with Nihong Lin there. I think the combination, the combo platter of the audiobook and the actual book itself was a real ace one. I think it works really well for romanized languages as well. So, you know, if you're English speaking, things like Spanish, German, Dutch, you know, Italian, stuff like that becomes a little bit easier. It becomes a little bit harder when you move across, you know, kind of different alphabets and stuff. So Russian, Chinese, Mandarin, things like this. It becomes a little bit more difficult. But on the whole, I think her English is sounds great from what I can gather. And I think those are definitely top tips. Look at those audiobooks, look at those actual transcripts together, and get to reading.
Yes, get to reading. That is something that we talk quite a lot on the show, because I think there's one purpose on this show, that is we like to bring back some of the good old stuff and find its relevance today when there is an importance to it. And I think when you talk about reading and how does that improve your studying of a second language, well, reading is a very important part of learning or being able to use one language. And listening to audios or watching movies in that language, that certainly helps, but that helps listening comprehension. That helps you in being able to speak that language. But I think you need to figure out if reading and writing are important parts of that second language that you want to be equipped with such skills. If yes, then you need to read. But reading from cover to cover, it doesn't necessarily seem to be one thing that you have to do. That is in my opinion. But I still see the importance, I think, or usefulness of reading a book from cover to cover and not in a fragmented form like what we do when we're reading articles or segments of books or publication on our smartphones, because I think from cover to cover you'd be able to understand the author a lot better. And I do admit that it's rare that these days we give such attention to an author. I think maybe only classics or maybe a new subject that you want to pick up, that you really want to know the foundations of and know the subject really well, then I would recommend that to you. But yes, reading from cover to cover is now the VVIP treatment we give to an author these days.
Yes, and like one of our, I think, ads on Easy FM said that for an author, he spent like years or dozens of years of his life to finish that one book. And we only need, let's say, several days or a week to finish that. In order to understand his way of thinking, the system of the book, that is more than the some information or some piece of knowledge you get from a cell phone reading app.
Yes, that's something I do agree with you, Nyoholi. And I think reading, if you read in segments, then yes, you get information.
Mm.
But I feel if you read from cover to cover, or really being able to study a book or a subject, that's when you receive knowledge. And that takes more of your time and more of your thinking.
I agree. And I tend to kind of oscillate between the two things. I have the reading for knowledge things, and then I, you know, just reading for pure enjoyment. In fact,
pleasure.
This show is lovely, but as soon as it's done, I'm going to go read a nice book in the middle of the day, and that's the thing. And I prefer very long books, so that I don't have to change. So I can just pick one, and like that's the book for about 2 months or something like this. And I recommend it highly. I think especially in modern times where our attention spans are much shorter, people are even, you know, for movies, they're a little bit, this is a bit long. I think that skill of being able to sit down by yourself for an hour or maybe, you know, 30 minutes and just concentrate on whatever you're doing there, I think it's very, very valuable.
Yes, that is very valuable, and increasingly it's becoming alien to us. And sometimes I do understand with the hustle and bustle in the cities and everybody's busy, but if you can find yourself the comfort and the time to settle down, don't think too much, and immerse yourself in a book, that is a rarity, but I think it's something worth exploring. And try that out. You might feel very different about your life after that. And also, we have another audio clip from a lovely listener called Linda from London. Let's play that out.
Hi guys at Round Table. My name's Lisa. I'm calling from just outside London on a glorious English summer day, and I was hoping you could help me with a planned trip to China. I have got 3 weeks that I can take, but I don't know what time of year would be best to come. Also, where should I go and what should I see? What can I really not miss when I come over to China? I've already been to Nanjing, and I loved it so much that I needed to find more time to come back. I hope you can help me out.
Yes, well, thank you so much, Linda. Oh, Lisa, excuse
Lisa,
me.
Yeah.
Yes, Lisa, for sending in that message. So, I'll start with Lincoln.
Yeah.
What would you recommend our friend Lisa from London?
So she says she had about 3 weeks
yes.
to do it. Okay, well, she's been to Nanjing. I would recommend you definitely make the kind of the big places. So you go to Beijing and all of the things that go with it. You know, you see the Great Wall. You make sure you visit all of the places. You go to Shanghai as well, just to kind of see modern China. And you could probably fit all of that in a week. You know, basically, in my opinion, you can do that part in a week. I love the kind of the places just around and outside of it. So Suzhou is a great shout if you're trying to go somewhere. I love Suzhou, really, really pretty. I recently went to Pingyao, which was great. It's an ancient wall, so you can get a little bit of ancient flavors there in there as well. And then if you want to kind of see nature, I think Henan is a great shout. You know, see the big Avatar Mountains and stuff like that. Those would be the things that I recommend over the course of about 3 weeks. And then I would also just maybe have at the end of that 3 weeks just a little bit of time just to do nothing. So that would be my suggestion.
Mm.
See a little bit of the modern parts of China, you know, where China's going, then also see some of the ancient part of it, and then also see some of the natural wonders. That would be my recommendation.
That's very comprehensive. And for me, because as a Chinese, it's hard for me to pick out the things that you will find particularly interesting. So I'd recommend you to make sure you know what you're looking for. Because if it were for me, every travel was, of course, about sightseeing. But one of the center of the travel would be food. So I would recommend you to try different kinds of Chinese food, including, let's say, hot pot, which is not Lincoln's favorite, according to our little chat.
I would not recommend hot pot at all.
Hot pot and Sichuan food, because a lot of the
100%.
Yeah, very famous Chinese food overseas are actually changed or variated from Sichuan food. And also Beijing, you will have some roast duck thing. And in Shanxi, you can have some noodles. So if you're interested, yes, if you're interested in food, those would be your choices. And if you're interested in panda, apparently when I'm doing research for you, because I've seen all these different kind of tripping plans from day 1 to day 12, you need it, I can send it over. But one particular fun thing about it is that there is an important tourist holy site which will provide you a panda, one day panda person experience, which means you can go hug a panda or feed a panda if you're not afraid of bear attacking, because it's a bear anyway.
It is a bear. Yeah.
Yes, but still, you'll be totally safe because that's provided for foreign guests to have experience with panda. And also, there are, like Lincoln has said, so many ancient history sightseeing in China, especially in Beijing and Xi'an and Shanxi. There are all places where you can get, like, we have a saying in Chinese that if you want to see history 5,000 years ago, you can visit Shanxi. That would be a cool thing to see. Yeah, and because for as for me, I always feel like I wanted to see some modern society development in other countries. But gradually, I realized China is developing so fast. And if you can live in a modern city, like, let's say, Shanghai for several days, and try to find some local people who speaks English for you, or if you can speak Chinese, you can try to use some apps that we use, like food delivery apps or electric map on your phone. It'll be quite interesting to understand that part of China, because I think delivery services in China is like really good, and you will not find it wasting your time.
Yeah, that's interesting. One
very specific suggestion.
Yes,
I would actually suggest, you know, if you come here, take at least one day where you just rent, a mobike or an OFO or something, and just kind of cycle around and try and find your way around and kind of just take in the city. I think that would be a good idea as well.
Yeah, and if you have 3 weeks that you want to spend all in China, then I think you do have the time to lay back a little bit and just enjoy what the city, what people are like, and be a little bit of a observer to what's going on. And also, since you're from England, then I'd imagine you must be very much used to the green pastures or the green hills and the damp weather. So I would recommend maybe go to the Dunhuang grottos. So you'll see some desert and a lot of beautiful and ancient history. That would be a nice place to go to. Yes, well, we gave you a lot of tips and suggestions where to go to, and I hope you have a wonderful time when you come to China. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Lincoln, and Niu Honglin. After this break, we will talk about Moutai College. What is this liquor college about?
Roundtable. Connect the dots. Paints the picture. Debates the big issues. Every day from 1 to 2 p.m. on Easy FM.
You're listening to Roundtable. The Chinese Ministry of Education has given the green light to an iconic Chinese liquor company to establish a private university. Yes, it is called Moutai University. So let's talk about what is going on here. What does this liquor university have to offer?
Well, first of all, this is the first Chinese university named after a liquor company. And it is, for those of you who don't know, Moutai is like the most famous liquor in China. And we use it on very official and top like A-list occasions, and it's very expensive.
Yeah.
And this university is actually, well, it's a real university. It can offer you bachelor's degrees. And apparently the university had 500 teaching staff members until this May, and 300 of whom are full-time teachers. Over 80% of the full-time teachers have master or doctorate degree. Yes.
Yeah, I actually got some of this for Christmas. I got as a Christmas gift, someone gave me some Moutai.
How'd you like it?
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea.
Is it too strong?
It's very, very strong. It's very strong.
Yes, apparently it's a flagrant in the eyes of a wine, well, liquor connoisseur.
Yeah, it's a lot. it's a lot. It's a lot of, yeah, it's a lot. I will say that this seems fine. This university seems perfectly fine and acceptable to me. It seems like, you know, there's a gap in the market. People don't know what to do. There's maybe not enough education, not enough professionalism in the alcohol industry. And they're taking steps to address that issue.
Yes, but for me, I do have a problem with it. Because if I enter this university, get graduate, I will have a multi-bachelor's degree.
Yeah, I by and large agree. I think the branding could probably have been a little bit better. Although I do imagine there's probably some, you know, sort of kind of monetary deal attached to it.
Yes, if you're very practical after graduation, you will definitely find a good place to start a career. That's for sure.
No, I mean, I assume that, you know, Motai, they actually stepped in. Said, well, if you name this university that, there would be some sort of some sort of thing attached to it.
I'd imagine that the multi company would probably pick its future employees from this university or have some kind of partnership. That would be very useful. I think on the one hand, for the students to find employment, you know, that's a good thing. And on the other hand, for the company to churn out talent according to its own requirements, this is a pretty forward-thinking move. As we were doing our research, I realized that there are other interesting universities too, such as Potato College.
Now you're talking. Now you are.
McDonald's University.
Now you're talking. Now we're getting into the kind of the nitty gritty stuff here. McDonald's University as well. We have the Potato one that is Yunnan Normal University announced they plan to set up a college for potatoes. We should stress for people studying potatoes, not for the potatoes themselves. But this specific one, the Huise Agricultural Technology Promotion Center and International Potato Center, where, you know, they largely planted major potato production areas in that place. And there was the ideas that you understand the production of the potatoes and how you can best leverage them to feed the people, to make the most money, to make the most of the land given. Seems pretty normal and legit to me. I don't know about you, Nihonglin.
Yeah, for me, if I wanted to think about this from a very romantic way, that is, when you're entering college or choose your major, it should be out of love. You should love this subject so that you choose this major. It shouldn't be because it can make a lot of profit or start a career or make a lot of money, but I am only being very ideal. And this can be really practical.
Yes, I think the university needs to prove itself that it's offering a degree that's worthwhile pursuing. You're listening to Roundtable, and I have a big announcement to make right now. That is, on September the 1st, we will hold a special event of a dialogue between Chinese university students and university students from South Africa, in South Africa, Cape Town. So in order to be part of that, you need to be a university student, first of all, and second of all, send in a 3-minute video to talk about yourself. For details, check out our WeChat. Bye-bye.